Welcome, curious minds, to another deep dive. Today, we're plunging into a topic that's, well, it's utterly transforming how we search for information online.
And critically, how brands connect with their audiences.
Exactly. We've got an insightful chapter here from the AI search manual guiding us. And our mission, really, is to unpack this monumental shift, you know, from the traditional blue link world
to the brave new frontier of AI-driven answers.
Get ready for some genuine aha moments, because these strategies for the future of search, they're not just coming, they're already here. It demands a whole new playbook.
Indeed, the digital landscape is changing at warp speed. Honestly, for anyone navigating online visibility, understanding this evolution isn't just optional anymore.
No, it's essential.
It's core for staying relevant.
Yeah.
We'll explore not just what's changing, but why it matters so much for you, your business, your whole digital strategy.
Okay, let's unpack this then. Many of us, I think, vividly remember a simpler time on Google, right?
Oh, yeah.
A pristine white background, that single query box, and just 10 blue links.
That was it.
You typed, you clicked, you explored. Search engines felt like expert librarians, maybe, handing you a reading list.
It was a curated list, yeah.
But those days, as we knew them, are absolutely gone. What was the catalyst? What really prompted this move away from just a list of links to something much more complex?
That's a great starting point.
Yeah.
Because Google's core mission, it fundamentally shifted. It wasn't just about indexing the web anymore.
Right.
As Andre Broder pointed out in his seminal paper, Delphic Costs and Benefits in Web Search, there are very real non-monetary costs for users every single time they search.
Delphic costs. I like that term.
Yeah, he spoke about access costs, just the effort to get there, cognitive costs,
yeah,
the mental energy to figure out the query, sift through results, and time costs, just the sheer minutes,
yeah,
sometimes hours spent. Google realized its true value was in reducing these costs.
Okay.
They wanted to move from simply finding information to providing it directly.
Delphic costs. That instantly makes me think of those searches, you know, where you're diving down rabbit holes, click after click, and you just can't find what you need. It perfectly captures that feeling of wasted effort, doesn't it?
It really does.
So knowing Google wanted to cut those costs, provide answers directly, this is where it gets really interesting for me. How did they start doing that? What did those first steps look like on the SRP, the search results page, to save us that click?
Well, those initial steps were incremental, but definitely strategic.
Oh.
It really began around 2007 with Universal Search.
Universal Search, okay.
That started mixing in images, news, right into the main results.
Yeah.
Kind of broke up the blue link monotony.
Right, visually different.
But a really significant lead came into 2012, the Knowledge Graph.
Ah, the Knowledge Graph. I remember that.
Yeah, this wasn't just matching words anymore. Google began to understand entities, concepts.
Entities, like people, places.
People, places, things, facts about them, right on the page. Pulled from this huge network of real-world info. Then, by 2014, we saw featured snippets.
The answer boxes.
Exactly, those answer boxes, pulling content directly from websites.
Yeah.
Then came local packs, maps for directions.
Yeah, super useful.
People also ask, suggesting follow-up questions, even shopping carousels for browsing products.
Mm-hmm.
Each one gradually turned the SRP from just a portal
into something else.
Into a dynamic, content-rich answer surface.
You know, thinking back to those early features, I remember thinking, oh, that's neat, a little info box. But I don't think I fully grasped, not until now really, that those were intentional steps to maybe prevent me from clicking.
Well, to satisfy the intent faster.
Right, satisfy the intent. That's actually pretty mind-blowing when you frame it that way. So if Google got so good at delivering direct answers, what did that mean for us, the users? How did we react? What was the ripple effect?
Oh, the ripple effect was profound. And it's a critical insight for anyone in this space. A 2019 SparkToro study, it revealed an astonishing statistic.
Right.
Over 50% of Google searches resulted in zero clicks.
Wow, zero clicks, half of them.
Over half. Mm. Users were getting their answers right there on the SRP. They didn't need to visit a website. This wasn't just some trend. It was a clear signal. The fundamental way people interacted with search had changed.
Okay, 2019 SparkToro, over 50%, zero clicks. That number is, it's staggering. But for anyone running a website creating content, isn't that terrifying?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it undermine the whole point of driving traffic if users get answers without visiting your site? It feels like the rug was pulled out from under traditional SEO.
It absolutely felt that way for many. And in some respects, it was a redefinition of value. The incentive shifted, didn't it? From getting a click.
To being the source.
To being the source Google used for the answer, even if no click happened. But okay, beyond these visual changes we all saw, what tech advancements were happening, like under the hood? What allowed search engines to really understand what we were looking for? Moving beyond just keywords.
Yeah, the underlying tech is fascinating. The knowledge graph in 2012, that was huge for understanding entities, connecting facts.
Right.
Then in 2018, BERT was a massive breakthrough.
BERT, yeah.
It's a transformer model. It helped Google grasp the full context of words in a sentence, not just isolated keywords. It's like understanding the nuance in a conversation.
Exactly. The meaning behind the words.
But here's the real leap, technologically speaking. Vector embeddings. Late 2010s, early 2020s.
This is key.
They basically replaced keyword matching with semantic search. Imagine every word, phrase, even a whole document translated into a unique numerical fingerprint. A vector.
A point in space.
Right. These vectors exist in this vast, multidimensional meaning space, like a huge conceptual map. Semantic search doesn't just match keywords. It finds content whose meaning fingerprint is closest to your query's fingerprint.
Like finding a book by its core idea, not just scanning titles.
That's a brilliant analogy. Finding the core idea.
Exactly. And then finally, MUM and PaulM in 2021, 2022. These enabled Google to process multimedia, tackle incredibly complex multi-part queries in one go.
Wow.
These were the sophisticated building blocks that really set the stage for the biggest shift yet, AI-generated answers.
So for brands, this isn't just a shift in where you show up. It's a fundamental rethink of value. The goal isn't just to be found anymore. It's to be consumed and synthesized directly by the AI. You're aiming to be the ingredient in Google's answer, not just a label on the shelf.
That's a great way to put it.
The real insight, I think, is you're no longer competing just for a click, but for algorithmic trust. Machine readability. That's a massive shift in mindset for content creators.
It's the core challenge now. The game has changed from just visibility to becoming that authoritative, machine-readable source the AI chooses to use.
Okay, so with that foundation, understanding how Google built this answer engine, let's fast forward. What happens when we layer on the massive leap of generative AI from the 2020s? How is that fundamentally changing the game right now, moving beyond even those advanced features we just discussed?
This is where we truly step into a new era. We've gone from basic keyword matching to smart algorithms, and now, with these large language models, OpenAI's GPT, Google's Gemini, Anthropic's Claude,
big players,
search has become truly conversational and generative. These models don't just find information, they synthesize it, interpret it, deliver it as a direct, often comprehensive answer. It's what you might call a synthesis-first discovery model.
Synthesis-first discovery. Okay, what does that actually feel like for someone searching right now? How's that experience different from, say, even the advanced SCRPs with featured snippets?
Well, the system now meets you right at your point of intent. It understands your query's context, sometimes even using your search history.
Right. Personalization.
Then it summarizes the most relevant info from various sources, presents a custom overview right at the top. It's incredibly powerful because it can even take action for you.
Like what?
Like drafting an email based on your query or booking a reservation directly within the search experience. The key is you often get your answer without clicking a single link, sometimes without even realizing multiple sources were pulled together for you.
That sounds incredibly efficient, like having a personal research assistant on call.
It can be.
But it also sounds, well, once again, maybe a bit intimidating for traditional websites, you know, the ones relying on clicks for traffic, for revenue.
Mm-hmm.
What are the implications for search volume in this new world and for the whole digital economy built around those clicks?
It's a very valid concern. Gartner predicted back in 2024 that by 2026, traditional search volume could drop by as much as 25%.
25%? That's huge.
It is. Users just aren't searching the same way. They expect instant conversational answers, less effort. This brings up critical questions about the future of publishers, content creators. Hmm. How do they adapt their models?
Yeah.
It's an ongoing challenge. Huge questions around who owns the answer, trustworthiness. These aren't fully solved yet.
So AI isn't just summarizing, it's becoming an active participant, almost an agent in the search process. Now that sounds powerful, but also a bit autonomous. Are there practical considerations, maybe strategic challenges for content owners when we talk about this AI as an agent model, especially how their content gets accessed and used?
That's a crucial point. We're entering a phase where these generative models act as agents, not just tools responding to one-off prompts.
Right.
They can break down complex tasks into multiple steps, communicate with other specialized AI agents, generate insights, complete actions, often without constant human direction. This is powered by concepts like the Model Context Protocol, or MCP.
Okay, MCP, can you break that down a bit? Yeah. Sounds a little abstract.
Sure. Think of MCP as a standardized way for content to basically tell an AI how it can be used.
Okay, like instructions.
Exactly. It transforms static content into something dynamic, actionable for the AI. So instead of just reading a recipe, an AI agent using MCP could, maybe, understand specific ingredients and directly add them to a shopping list.
Oh, wow.
Or calculate nutritional values, all without just interpreting free text or guessing. It's like your content isn't just describing something. It's instructing the AI on how to interact with it.
That makes it much clearer. Your content becomes actionable, not just readable by humans or AI. Can you give us a real-world example? AI agents at work. Maybe something a brand might encounter or even use.
Absolutely. On a recent iPoll Rank webinar, Andrea Volpini discussed this. Imagine a website's traffic drops, maybe related to AI overviews popping up.
Okay, a common scenario now.
Instead of a human team digging through data manually, you could have multiple specialized AI agents working in parallel. One analyzes SRPs for those AI overviews. Another pulls data from Google Search Console to pinpoint the drops. A third simulates AI mode queries to see how your site shows up conversationally.
Mm-hmm.
A fourth checks knowledge graph entities for changes. Others do competitive benchmarking, backlink analysis, visibility scoring.
And so they all work together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And these agents can then report back, maybe even directly update your dashboards, your spreadsheets, send alerts. The agent becomes this new middleman between you, the web, and all your data and tools. It's a powerful vision for automating complex analysis.
The search industry is clearly in an identity shift. We used to talk about SEO search engine optimization for decades. It was the standard.
It was.
But if search engines are answering directly, acting as agents, what do we even call optimizing for that? SEO doesn't quite fit anymore, does it?
You're absolutely right. The old term is struggling. The industry is grappling with this, and the terminology is still evolving. You might hear things like answer engine optimization, AEO, or AI optimization, AIO.
Right.
At iPoll Rank, we use generative engine optimization, or GEO.
Right.
It's about optimizing not just for search, but specifically for these new generative interfaces.
Okay, GEO. What's the core difference then between traditional SEO, which we thought we knew, and this new GEO? They sound related, but also fundamentally different targets.
The difference is crucial. It's about a shift in your primary audience. With SEO, the goal was rank high, convince a human user to click your snippet.
Right, get the click.
GEO's primary audience is machines, specifically AI models. Your goal is making content that AI models can easily ingest, synthesize accurately, and explain clearly.
Okay, so optimizing for the machine first.
Exactly. It involves optimizing for, say, three key areas. First, semantic clarity. Your content needs to be unambiguous, well-structured, aligned with concepts AI models recognize, clear topical relevance.
Makes sense.
Second, authority. Engines prioritize trustworthy, well-sourced content. That means earning citations, demonstrating expertise, building a strong entity presence for your brand. EEAT principles still matter, maybe even more.
Okay, trust signals.
And third, accessibility across modalities. It's not just text anymore. Gen engines pull insights from images, videos, tables, charts, PDFs, even code snippets. Your information needs to be available, understandable, in multiple forms.
So it's about making content machine readable, almost like speaking directly to Google, Gemini, Perplexity, ChatGPT with browsing, like training the AI on your information.
Precisely. GEO focuses on those machine readable layers. Structured data, clear topical relevance, strong trust signals, multimodal readiness. SEO was about ranking on the SERP for a click. GEO is about being part of the answer, whether a link shows up or not. It's a framework to ensure content isn't just found, but truly understood and correctly surfaced by these generative engines.
This really sounds like it connects to another crucial concept you mentioned, relevance engineering. Can you explain that? How does it fit with GEO and this AI agent world?
Yeah, relevance engineering is kind of a broader channel agnostic approach. It's about systematically positioning your content within various information systems, not just search engines, to deliver highly pertinent, valuable results.
Okay, beyond just Google search.
Right. It goes beyond keywords to understand context, user intent, data relationships.
Mm.
It's multidisciplinary, pulling from information retrieval, AI, UX, content strategy, digital PR.
Mm.
In this new world, conversational search treats relevance almost like a mathematical score.
Yeah.
Content and queries are plotted as points, vectors, in that multidimensional space we talked about. The closer your document vector is to the query vector, the higher its relevance score. It becomes measurable, optimizable, not just guesswork.
Relevance as a measurable score. That's a powerful way to think about it.
Yeah.
What's the core mechanism then? How does modern AI search actually achieve this measurable relevance? What makes it dynamic?
At its heart is a process called retrieval augmented generation, or RAG.
Yeah.
Instead of an AI just answering from its internal training data, which can get outdated or be incomplete.
Right. The knowledge cutoff problem.
Exactly. Our RAG combines two steps. First, it retrieves the most relevant, up-to-date content from external sources, websites, databases, internal docs.
So it goes out and finds current info.
Yes. And then it augments that information by feeding it to the generative model to synthesize a coherent, human-readable answer. This is what makes these engines dynamic and current. That's like a super smart researcher who first finds the best, most recent books, then writes a perfect summary using them.
Okay, so for content creators, for brands, RGRAG really shifts the target. It's not just about being found by a human. It's about being retrieved in that first RAG step and then being judged good enough to be used by the AI in the second step.
Precisely. It's a two-stage game now. You're optimized, so retrieval systems find your content quickly in that vector space, recognize it as relevant, authoritative, and then effectively pass it to the generative model to become part of the answer.
So it's about being AI ready at both stages.
Exactly. The better your content fits that search and retrieval layer, clear semantics, authority, structure, the more likely it is to power the AI response.
So given all this, the shift to GEO, the importance of RAG, what are some practical, actionable focus areas for brands? How do you actually prepare your content ecosystem for these AI-first surfaces without just, you know, guessing?
Well, it requires building content, data, and your site infrastructure with clear intent. Specifically for AI consumption, you should focus on things like semantic clustering grouping-related topics logically. Ensuring measurable relevance is part of your strategy. Understanding how embeddings work for your content.
Okay.
It also involves strategically pruning less relevant or outdated content and clustering your on-topic pages to really reinforce authority and clarity for the AI.
Makes sense. Focus the signal.
And what's really interesting and important is that deep pages, not just your homepage or main landing pages, are being cited in over 80% of AI overviews, according to some studies.
Wow, 80% from deep pages.
Yeah. It means every valuable piece of content you have need to be optimized for retrieval. The ultimate goal, create a content ecosystem that's engineered for these AI-first surfaces, optimized to rank, effectively, in zero-click AI overviews and conversational agents, built not on guesswork, but on a deep, data-driven understanding of how these new systems actually work.
We've really journeyed, haven't we? From the simple 10 blue links, the promise of cutting those Delphic costs, to a world where AI agents are synthesizing answers, understanding complex context, even taking action, the shift is undeniable. Search isn't just about finding anymore.
No, it's about providing understanding, becoming an active participant in discovery. The future of digital visibility is conversational, intelligent, deeply integrated.
And for you, the listener, the key takeaway here is that the fundamental rules of visibility have changed.
Dramatically.
Absolutely. Optimizing for machines, machines that read, understand, synthesize your content using strategies like generative engine optimization, GEO, and relevance engineering.
Yeah.
It's paramount now. Your content needs to be more than discoverable. It has to be clearly understandable, semantically robust, undeniably authoritative for AI to actually leverage it. So as you reflect on this deep dive, maybe consider this. If your brand is aiming to be part of the answer in this new AI search era, what's the single most crucial piece of content or maybe data structure you need to revisit first? What needs to be made ready for the machines right now? What stands out to you as that immediate, actionable first step on this new path?